All right, good to be with you this evening. It's kind of warm, and when you first walk into an air conditioning building, it's always nice for the first few minutes. And then after a while, you start to wonder where the air conditioning went. Although it works good. I was in here last week one day, and I was cold, and it was warm last week. I remember leaving the church. I was in here for a while, but I remember I finally left. I was so cold when I stepped outside. I was like, oh, it feels good. Until I get to the end of Pine Glen Road, then the air conditioning went on. But anyway, I want to try to work through this subject matter this evening. I'd like to get through the whole thing. And if you would turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. It's good to be with you tonight. Appreciate you all coming out and leaving those air conditioning shady spots and making your way out to the church tonight to worship the Lord together. And to one last time look into His Word. I hope it's a blessing and an encouragement to you, and that you can use it to take it with you through the week. Let's continue to be in prayer for those that are traveling, some that will be traveling. I might try to sneak in the trunk of Nicole's car there, head to PEI with them this week, but be in prayer for those that are still doing vacations and are going to be away, and we had a great time, as I mentioned this morning, on our little getaway, and looking forward to another little getaway in a week or two, and going out on a houseboat. But in the meantime, we want to pray for one another. There is a fire, as we speak, out in Irishtown, Notre Dame area, and I've got a couple of friends, Hendersons live out that way, for those that know those fellows, so I was talking to them, and they could see the fire from where they are. Alex and Lori's house, one of them had said. So let's be in prayer about that, and just pray that the Lord would help put that out. And we can also be in prayer for rain. It always discourages me when that's sometimes the last thing I go to is the Lord. You know, we talk about everything and what can we do to fix it, and complain and growl and criticize, and then, oh, let's pray. So let's pray about that. Even as we begin this evening, we'll remember the weather, that God might send us some rain and be with those folks that, as from what I understand, the Cape Breton Road area has been asked to evacuate. So I don't know. I thought they were getting it under control out there, but it's hard to say. So we'll be in prayer for them tonight as well. And thinking of Dwayne, and we mentioned him, Norma's nephew, this morning. Brent again mentioned him tonight. But let's just be in prayer. As we hear these different prayer requests and see these needs come across our way, we'll just continue to be faithful to pray about them. So let me pray, and then we're going to get started on our topic tonight. Father, we thank you for the day today, Lord, and it is warm, but we're grateful for the summer weather, and we're grateful, Lord, that you're in control of the seasons. And Father, it's for that reason we come before you, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with these folks that are in the way of this fire out not too far from us. And we think of them, and some we even know, Lord, and so we pray that you would protect lives, protect properties and homes, and Lord, we ask that this fire would get under control soon. And Father, we just pray for your help with that. And then also, Lord, in regards to our need of rain, Father, we pray that you would, Lord, bring the rain. And we ask, God, that these conditions that we're living in right now would quickly change, and Lord, that fire danger would go down again, Lord. So we pray this in Christ's name. We think of those that it will be and are traveling, and Lord, those that are struggling with illnesses, challenges of one sort or of another, and those who are grieving, Father, we think of them this evening. And we just ask that you would undertake for every need. We mentioned Dwayne. We'll mention him again tonight. Father, undertake for his needs, Lord, spiritually speaking, first and foremost. We pray that you would allow, Lord, or bring to his side comfort, those disciples that might share hope and truth in Christ. And then, Lord, be with the doctors and the family. And then, Father, we pray that you would be with us in these 2 minutes this evening. Bless our time together as we continue to talk about faith and, Lord, to be inspired, Lord willing, and encouraged to keep looking up and to keep our eyes on Christ. So we pray you bless our time and your word tonight. We love you, Lord, and we worship you. We're careful to acknowledge that it's because of you, Lord, that we have salvation and forgiveness. So we thank you for Christ. We thank you for your word. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Okay. Okay, and it was Chris Duthright? Okay, so we'll keep him in prayer as well. Chris Doothright was in this four-wheeler accident. He's in the hospital, and he's all banged up. So, okay, please remember that name as well. Yeah, amen. That's right. Many of us heard the sirens and the fire trucks going that day. I think there was 3 car fires that day in particular, so it was a busy day. It wasn't until the following morning I'd heard of the casualties of that accident. And yeah, our daughter-in-law's was related to one of the individuals in that vehicle. Is that right? Okay. Well, we can be in prayer for those families as well, as Joyce pointed out. So that's a privilege that we have to intercede on behalf of those that are grieving and those that are hurting and going through things that none of us want to ever go through. So we'll lift them up before the Lord and remember to be in prayer for them through the days ahead and Lord willing, as we close tonight. Thank you. Anything else this evening, just by way of prayer request, maybe? Yes, sir.
I just want to praise the Lord for giving me such a good day and my health issues. I made it to church.
Amen. 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 Well, it's good to be with you, and thankful that we have the Lord and we have each other to be an encouragement and to pray for one another. So we'll look at the Word of God, and Lord willing, I hope this is an encouragement to you folks, but I want to talk a little bit more tonight about faith, as I mentioned this morning, and specifically 7 things about faith. And maybe most of this won't be new or completely life-changing, but hopefully there's some different perspectives that you might not have considered as we talk about the topic of faith. So I'm just going to share these 7 things, one right after another. And the first one is we are safe in faith. The first thing about faith I want to share is that we are safe in faith. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 5 to begin with. Romans chapter 5. We are safe in faith. And when it comes to faith, we often think of it in just one way. It's sort of a linear mindset that we have. Faith, I have to trust God, and that's about all there is to faith. But there's so much more to that. And when we think about the safety aspect of our salvation and of walking in the Spirit of the Lord, walking obediently, we're talking about maintaining a safe life as a believer. Not necessarily comfortable, but anytime we're in the will of God, we are safe. And we are safe in faith. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read 2 verses here. Have you ever heard that? We've all heard of it. I know you have. But keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, right? That's, I don't know if it's as common to hear that anymore. But it's a good idea. Why should we keep our arms and legs inside the vehicle? To stay safe, right? We don't want to lose any limbs. And we hear these sorts of things all the time. We're used to being told how to be safe. We follow instructions and procedures and we read things and we hear things and the government does things to keep us safe. Well, that's appreciated for the most part. We want to be kept safe. We appreciate, yield signs and stop signs and warning labels and all of those sorts of things. But how much more can we find safety in the Word of God? And when it comes to specific things like faith, we can learn that we are safe in faith. And here's what I mean. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. First of all, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, we talked a little bit about this when we looked at peace, 7 things about peace. Did we do that series yet? I think we did. Yeah. So here's the thing. When we are at peace with God, we are safe from the wrath of God. We are safe from the judgment of God. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, that he is angry with the wicked every day. And so when we are at peace with God, we no longer have to fear his righteous indignation, his righteous wrath. Friends, this is one of the greatest things about being born again. We are immediately safe. And we refer to that moment we trust Christ as being what? Being saved. And another way to understand it is that we are now eternally safe. Safe from the wrath of God. Safe from judgment. Safe from a place the Bible describes as hell, weeping and wailing. A place of darkness, torment, and separation from Almighty God forever. We are safe the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, first and foremost, when we talk about faith, the first step of safety for you and I as Christians, or for anybody, is to put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we come to faith, we are now safe. And we praise God for that. Amen? No matter what happens, no matter what comes your way in your life, we know this for sure. We may not know all the details, but you are safe in God's will. You are safe in God's hands. You are safe. You are preserved. You have eternal life because he is faithful. And so no matter what happens, the worst day that we could have on this planet is nothing compared to what's coming in eternity. And Paul talked about that. He said that all of the difficulties he experienced aren't even worthy. They're not even worthy to be mentioned. I won't even bring them up, he said, because of what God is doing and what God is going to do, the glory that waits for us someday. So when it comes to the idea of being safe in faith, number one, we're safe two ways. And the first way is we're safe from judgment. We're safe from the wrath of God. We're safe from the consequences of our sinfulness. It says in verse 2, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The second way that we are safe in faith, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So we are safe, number one, because we become born again. We are no longer enemies of God. We're no longer our father is no longer Satan. We are adopted into the family of God. No man will pluck us from his hand. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. We are safe, eternally forgiven, redeemed, justified, born again, headed for glory, and we can bank on that. Praise God for that truth. But the second way that we become safe is as we walk in the Spirit of God. As we follow the Lord Jesus Christ throughout our lives, we can find safety. And we often will read verses, maybe in the Psalms or the Proverbs, about that strong tower, about that buckler, that shield, the Lord who covers us with his wings. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And you've heard me say this before. The sheep is only safe when he's close to the shepherd. But the further the sheep is from the shepherd, the closer he is from the wolves, and vice versa. The closer he is to the shepherd, the Christian, the sheep, the further he is from the wolves, the safer he is. And this is what we read here, or essentially in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith. Maintain the faith. Don't forget what you have been taught. Don't forget to trust in the Lord God. Don't forget that these are true truths. These are facts that are true. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. In other words, when we step out of faith, when we step away from the shepherd and these two individuals, it mentions them in verse 20, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme, as they stepped away from the will of God, as they stepped away from righteousness and truth and began to formulate their own ideas, they are no longer safe. The Bible tells us that some are delivered over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but for the saving of the soul. When we are out of the will of God, we are in dangerous territory. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a missionary in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The chances of surviving there, by the way, are not very good. The chances of being kidnapped are really high, especially if you have any kind of notoriety or money at all. But the chances of losing your life are very high over there. And yet, we are safe as believers, regardless of what's going on around us, if we are in God's will. I have mentioned maybe a time or two a missionary and over there, his name is Rubens. And Rubens is the director, the principal, the orchestrator of an orphanage over there of over 200 children, and now many more, because many from Port-au-Prince and other places in Haiti have flocked to his community. and to his school because they have found some help, they have found some food, they have found some protection. The gangs, for whatever reason, no doubt because of God's protection, haven't saturated this particular area. But I remember him standing in our church in the short time he was in Canada, and he said, many have had to flee Haiti, but I want to be there because that is my country, and those are my people, and they need Christ. They don't know that they need Christ, but they need Christ, and I want to be there to tell them. And he said something along the lines of, if I was anywhere else but in Haiti, I wouldn't be happy. Now, you just go ahead and turn on the news or Google what's going on in Haiti, and you would think, why would anybody want to stay there? And yet, when we're out of the will of God, that's when we're in danger. That's where we're not happy. But when we are in the will of God, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on around us, we are safe. And so, again, the point is, when we are in the will of God, we are safe. These individuals stepped out of the will of God. They didn't hold on to the faith like Timothy was being encouraged to do. And their faith became shipwrecked. And now they're in the realm of the enemy. They are in danger territory. When we are in faith, when we maintain our trust in the Lord, we are safe. We are safe in our faith. I want to just share one other point. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. You're probably going to guess where we're going here in Ephesians, but I want to mention it anyway. One of the articles of, not clothing, I guess, but pieces of armor that a knight or that a soldier, that a warrior would use on the battlefield is referenced in this list, as well as a few other things. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." I love that phrase, by the way, the armor of God, right? If I'm gonna put on any armor, I'm going to choose the armor of God over the armor of anybody else because he's God. And so when we put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, when you put on all the armor, you've done all to stand. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And then it says in verse 16, and we often miss the first two words, "above all." Above all, put on the belt of truth, take the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. We are safe in faith. As we walk with the Lord, as we trust the Lord, we need to, not, number one, understand that we are safe so we don't become fearful. But also to understand that when we are walking with the Lord, trusting in him, holding on to that shield of faith, we're defeating the attacks that are coming against us. It says in verse 16, "Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." You know, it's not always about physical safety. Sometimes it's about spiritual safety, because the enemy often will attack us spiritually, emotionally, and in different ways. And so as the enemy lobs those fiery darts at us, causing us to, you know, doubt your salvation, you're no good as a Christian, God can't love you. And when he fires those darts, what protects us is the shield of faith, believing and holding on to what we know is true, and protecting ourselves with faith from the enemy's attacks. We are safe in faith. There's so much more to faith than sometimes we bear in mind. But this is one of the things about faith that I love. So we're safe. Again, the safest place to be is in God's will, regardless of where that is. If you're in the belly of a fish, if you're in the middle of a storm, if you're in the middle of a war-torn country, if you are in God's will, you are safe. And because we are his, whatever happens to us is according to his perfect will for us. And he does not waste the blood of his son that has cleansed us from our unrighteousness. He will use us for his glory, and that's a wonderful privilege. Number two, the second thing about faith is we make our way by faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. We make our way by faith. I used to know many years ago in the trailer park we lived in, there was a fella, I believe his name is Randy, he was blind. And he was blind from birth, and everything that he did, he had to utilize all of his other senses. And everything he did, he did as an individual that did not have sight. And it was always impressive to watch him, you know, walking with his cane, or how he navigated, you know, around a corner, or and likewise in his house as he had to do different things, different functions, feed himself, wash the dishes, get dressed, all those sorts of things. Everything he did not by sight, but in using his other senses. And when we think about making our way by faith, it's sort of the same idea. Our eyes are the sense that helps us see the world around us so we don't run into things, so that we have wisdom or understanding or keeps us safe. We see what's around us. And the eyes of faith does the same thing for us, spiritually speaking. And when we think about my friend who did everything according to his other senses, he didn't live according to his sight because he couldn't. And yet he was still able to navigate. He was able to do pretty much everything else that the rest of us do, but he utilized other senses. And as believers, we are instructed or commanded or told in the Bible to walk by faith, to make our way by faith in many different ways. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It says, "Now the just," and just say it with me, "shall what? Live by faith." So who are the just? The just are those who are justified. Those who have trusted in Christ or are now at peace with God are declared to be justified because of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. And we, the just, because of Christ, now live by faith. It says, "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." We talked about that this morning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We don't draw back. Those who do draw back are demonstrating that they're likely not saved at all. Verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." But again, the point is, it says, the just shall live by faith. And so when we think about faith, there's more to it than just bringing faith in from time to time. You know, everything's going well. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rolls around. I've had a bad day or some difficulty or some disaster comes up. And so now I begin to apply the faith that I need. And sometimes we think that way. Lord, I need faith. Help my faith. Help me to trust you. But faith is more than just in the emergency situations. Faith is how we live our lives. It's a lifestyle to live a life of faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. The just, it says, shall live by faith. There's a couple of other references. I'll just share them with you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Galatians 3:11, Galatians 2:20, Romans 1:17, all tell us the same thing. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us the just shall walk by faith. When you talk about living by faith, everything we do, just like that blind man I mentioned, everything he did wasn't just one aspect of his life that he needed to use his other senses to navigate. When he ate, but also when he cooked, and also when he got dressed, and also when he left the house, and also when he was getting ready for bed. Everything that he did, his entire life, he had to navigate as a blind individual using his other senses. And after a while, those individuals get really good at it. It's really amazing what they're capable of accomplishing. And likewise, as Christians who pray, practice, and are patiently growing in faith, we get better at it. And after a while, we realize that faith isn't just something we bring in once in a while, but everything we do, we do in faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. At Romans 3:28, we're justified by faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:7, we are comforted by faith. In Romans 5:2, it says we have access to God and to his grace by faith. Acts 15:9, we are purified by faith. Acts 26:8, we're sanctified by faith. We're made righteous by faith, Romans 3:22. And in 2 Corinthians 1:24, we stand by faith. And the point of mentioning all of those verses is that everything we do is done, Lord willing, by faith. When we think, when we act, when we pray, when we do, when we go, when we come, when we leave, whatever the case is, as Christians, we're always looking to God for direction, for protection, for help, for wisdom. Because we live by faith. Everything we do, we're trusting the Lord. And so the idea of making our way through life by faith is an ongoing process. When I get up tomorrow morning, I want the Lord to help me to be faithful and to help me to trust him, to have faith in him. And it's something that I got to pray for often and throughout the day maybe and throughout the weeks. It's an ongoing, continual thing. Number one, We are safe in faith. Number two, we make our way by faith. Number three, turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, one chapter away. The third thing about faith is that when we have faith, or when we grow in faith, we become faithful and fearless. Faithful, not faithful, although we are faithful to the Lord, faithful to his services, faithful to the calls that he allows us to be a part of, but we are also full of faith. The more that we grow, the more that we trust the Lord, we become full of faith. And the more we are full of faith, the less we are full of fear. And those two things are as opposite in my mind as they can get. I jotted down that fear controls what it feels. If you haven't noticed by now, I like quotes. It's just the way my brain works, and I can compartmentalize thoughts, and often they come out in quotes. Fear controls what it feels, but so does faith. Fear will control you, right? It'll make you do crazy things. I can remember many times waking up in the middle of the night, and I was sure there was a monster in my bedroom, and my heart was pounding, and I was sweating and getting ready to cry out, but I was frozen in fear. And then eventually, as I was able to courageously make my way over to the door and open it up or turn on the light, and I seen it was my house coat and a hat, you know, and that's how it works. But fear can really control you. And you can make bad decisions or poor decisions when fear strikes your heart. And if we are fear-filled, then that's what's controlling us. The doubt and the fear and the anxiety and the depression and the discouragement, it's all fear, fear, fear. And everything we do and our responses and our reactions are being controlled by the fear that's filled us up. But we can also be faithful. And this is what I believe the Lord wants us to be, full of faith. Here's what happens when we are. Look at Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 23. Just two examples here. We looked at these this morning quickly, but it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, and we just looked at this account not too long ago, so we'll remember. By faith, when Moses was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Remember what the king said? Any little boys born, they need to die. He killed them. And Moses' parents saw this little boy and said, we can't do that. We're not killing him. Midwife, same idea. We don't care what the Pharaoh says. We're going to do what is right. And God honored them for that. But the point is they had faith. And because of the faith, Moses' life was preserved. As we just read, by faith, Moses was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. It wasn't luck. It wasn't chance. They weren't, you know, every day stressed out about, you know, we made the wrong decision. They had faith. We're going to do this. And we're gonna make the right decision. Look a little further down, verse 27. It says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing, same guy, by the way, Moses, the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And so when it comes to our faith, faith is what dissipates fear, one of the things that chases fear away. Let me read just a couple other things that I jotted down. Number one, the absence of faith often means the presence of fear, and vice versa. The absence of faith often means the presence of fear. Mark chapter 4, verse 40, you don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you quickly. We know this account. The disciples are in a boat. Jesus Christ is having a nap. He's exhausted, tired, and he's sleeping. And the disciples were kind of losing it. They were filled with fear. Verse 40 of Mark 4 says this, and he said unto them, remember they asked the Lord, don't you care about us? There's a big storm, and he gets up, peace be still. They wake him up, peace be still. But then he says this, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Now think of that question. Why are you afraid? Storm? In a boat? We can drown? Isn't it obvious? Well, what wasn't obvious was that they didn't have to be. And that's why Jesus Christ asked the question. You don't have to be afraid. I'm with you. I'm protecting you. And we have to understand that. We don't have to be afraid. This is what strikes me when I read this verse. It's not that Jesus Christ said, peace be still and calm the storm. Or even he says next, how is it that you have no faith? He tells them, well, where is your faith? The absence of faith often means the presence of fear. And he was driving that point home when he said, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Because if you have faith, if you know who I am, if you're trusting in me, you won't be afraid. And that's the point. You know, fear is a big deal. It often causes a lot of problems and a lot of stress in our world and in our lives. But faith fixes a lot of those issues. And so the third thing about faith is, when we are faithful, we fear less. In other words, if we fear God, we don't have to fear anything else. We don't have to fear anything else. Number four, the fourth thing about faith. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. I love this because the disciples come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they asked him a question that's similar to the question that they asked him once before in regards to prayer. Remember what they said? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ praying and they're like, we need to learn from him. And so they asked, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Well, I love this. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5. It says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. How do we have more faith? Teach us to have more faith. He's like the man that said, I believe, but what? Help mine unbelief. Yeah, I have faith, but not enough faith. I believe, but help mine unbelief. The apostles are saying, Lord, increase our faith. The apostles who left all and followed Christ, who have been watching Christ, who have been demonstrating that they are learning from Christ, still recognize that they need to grow in their own faith. And so they go to the Lord, they say, Lord, increase our faith. And here's what's interesting. The Lord says this to them. In regards to the size of our faith, and we're going to get more into this, he says this. When they say increase our faith, what does it mean to increase? Make it bigger. Make it more. We want to have a lot of it. And I agree. And I think that that's what we aspire to as we grow in our faith, is to have more of it. But here's what Christ responds with. They say, Lord, increase our faith. He says, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. In other words, the Lord was pointing out, it's not the size of your faith. Not that you should not have more. And again, as Christians, our faith can grow. But the important point is to have faith to begin with. He says, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord says, look, let's start with this. You don't need a lot of faith, but you need to have some faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. And I'm thankful for that. He starts with this. He doesn't say, yeah, you guys are definitely in trouble because you need a lot more faith. No, if you have just a little bit of faith, you're getting somewhere. You're getting somewhere. But here's the thing. I jotted down. In regards to faith, the fourth thing about faith is we can fatten up our faith. Excuse the title. We can fatten up our faith. My uncle once said years ago, I never forgot it, somebody was kind of ribbing him about his weight. He says, I see you're getting a little bit bigger there. And my uncle didn't miss a beat. He said, yeah, well, the skinny bear don't make the winter. I'd never heard that before. I've never forgotten it. Well, yeah, that's right. I'm going to make the winter, the rest of you guys. But you know, if the idea is fattening up our faith, having a strong, healthy faith, so that when the lean times come, we've got some fat in us, faith fat, that will get us through those difficult times, those lean times. We can fatten up our faith. I jotted this down. God's not limited by our lack of faith. Isn't that good? God's not limited by our lack. God's like, well, you only have a little faith. Sorry, I can't help you. Or I'm not interested in helping you. That would be terrible. And God is not limited by our lack of faith. But our faith is limited by our lack of God. And that's the problem. The more God we have, the more we're going to grow in our faith. And though God isn't limited by our lack of faith, our faith is limited by our lack of God. And so if my faith is small, what I need is more time with the Lord, more time in the Word, more time in prayer, and continuing to train myself to remember what the scriptures say. Why are you afraid? You don't have to be. I've not given you the spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, and many other examples. And so we can learn to fatten up our faith. Look at Matthew, please, chapter 16. I want to try to get through these just quickly now, these last few. And I want to show us this. Matthew chapter 16. There's a few examples here, and I'll try to be quick. Verse 8, it says this. Starting in verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. You remember that. The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to help these guys understand that sometimes they don't always understand, if that makes any sense. Verse 8, which was when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith. So that little phrase, ye of little faith, is interesting to me. O ye of little faith. Now we just read, it doesn't take a lot of faith. It only takes the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and you can take a sycamore tree and plant it in the ocean. Sycamore trees, by the way, have a huge root system. So there's more to that little example than just the fact that you can plant it in the sea. It would have been, it's an impossible task almost to uproot a sycamore tree and replant it somewhere, let alone in the depths of a sea. But God is saying it doesn't take a lot of faith. Faith is that powerful. And yet, we do see examples in Scripture where the Lord points out the fact that we can have more than just a little faith. Here's the example of a little faith. O ye of little faith. Let's look at a couple of more examples just quickly. Let's back up to chapter 14, verse 31. It says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Peter's walking on water. He takes his eyes off the Lord. And it says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When Peter began to sink, he took his eyes off the Lord, and he begins to sink there, and the Lord reaches out his hand, and he rescues him. But then he says these words, O ye of little faith. And so we start with a little faith, but the idea is that we can grow. Our faith can grow, and I believe that's what the Lord wants for us, for our faith to become fatter, for our faith to grow, for our faith in God to increase. And it can't be helped. The more that we're learning, the more that we're reading, the more that we're practicing, our faith will grow. A few other examples in chapter 8 of Matthew. Verse 26. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Just reference this. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Go also, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field in regards to our provisions, our needs, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. So the point is that there are several passages, as we just looked at, that refer to faith, but being in the quantity of a little bit. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, there isn't a problem, except that the Lord is telling us that we can have more than just a little faith. There's a few other examples, and we'll look at them just quickly. Matthew chapter 8, since we're still in Matthew, look at verse 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. The centurion says, Lord, I have my servant is home. He's sick of the palsy, and I want you to heal him. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going to come. I'll heal him. But the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy. You shouldn't come to my house. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come. And he cometh to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, so the centurion, is demonstrating faith. And Christ notices this, and he says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In other words, Lord, I don't believe you even need to come. I'm not worthy to have you in my home. This is my responsibility. This is my livelihood. But I believe you can do this, and you don't even have to be there. And the Lord says, this is great faith. And we looked at a few verses where the faith that the individuals had were just a little faith, and yet there is examples in the Scripture of those that have great faith. Now, if I could choose, and if I had a goal, And I'm, do you want to have a little bit of faith? It doesn't take a lot. Or do you want to have a lot more faith? Well, I would obviously want to have as much faith as I can have. And this is one example of where Jesus Christ says of great faith. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 to 28 is another example. And the woman there that said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. And what did Jesus Christ say to her? Oh, ye of great faith. And so the point is that there is a quantity of faith that we can have. It can be a little, or it can be a lot, but it has to be something, and it doesn't take much. But we can grow in our faith. We can fatten up our faith. Well, just quickly, number five, or the fifth thing about faith, is we can focus our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says that our faith stands in the power of God. And so we learn to focus our faith. Peter took his eyes off the Lord when he walked on the water. And it says that he saw the waves were boisterous. Well, he saw the waves because he looked at the waves and he saw how big and bad they were. And now he got afraid. And he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that we keep our focus on Christ. We keep our faith on Christ. Keep our eyes on him. Jot it down. We can believe him. He doesn't lie. We can trust him. He doesn't fail. We can follow him. He never goes astray. And for those reasons, keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Don't worry about what others are doing. When it comes to your faith, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll lead you. Remember what he said to Peter in John chapter 21? They were talking about different things, and, you know, feed my sheep, and John came up and they talked a little bit about John. And so Peter, Jesus explained to Peter how he was going to die. And then Peter said about John, what about him? What about this fellow? And Jesus Christ said, if he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. In other words, don't worry about John. If he's still alive when I come back again, what is that to you? What does that have to do with you? This is you and I talking. You don't worry about that. You follow me. Or what is that to thee? You follow me. You keep your eyes on me, Peter. You focus on following me, just you and me. And don't worry about others. And likewise, in our lives as Christians, we need to do the same. Focus our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Number six, we share our faith. Two different ways. I'll give you some references. The first one is Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light what? Shine. It's one way that we share our faith, through our testimony, through sharing the gospel, being salt, letting our light shine. We share our faith. You know, it's no good to have the faith and not share it. The Bible says if the gospel be hid, the gospel that saves mankind, the only hope, if it's hid, it is hid from them who are lost. Now, if the gospel is hid from them who are lost, who's hiding it? Because the only one who has the gospel is me, the saved. And if the gospel is hid from them who are lost, potentially it's being hid from me who is found. And that's not a good thing to do. And so we have to be careful to share our faith so that others can know Christ. We let our light shine. The second way that we share our faith is by way of encouragement. And I'm just going to give you the references and I'll read what I wrote. Others are counting on us to be faithful. They may not even know it, and they may not even appreciate, but you faithfully pray for those who need Christ. You faithfully pray for those who are in difficulties. Others need us to be faithful. And by the faithfulness of others, like you folks, we're encouraged. We encourage one another. We edify and we strengthen one another. Our faithfulness helps other Christians be faithful. Isn't that true? When I see someone and I see they're being disciplined, they're sticking to it, they're having their devotions, or they're praying, or they're going to church, and they're not giving up or throwing in the towel, I'm like, well, I got to do that too. I'm going to try to follow that example. And I appreciate Pastor and his wife Kitty there. 51 years. It's true. I was 1 year old when you guys tied the knot. But it's a wonderful example. Two individuals. Been married for over 50 years. We need those examples. We can say, it can be done. I can do it. And likewise with faith. Others encourage me to be faithful. Their faithfulness, your faithfulness helps me focus on Christ. It helps me be faithful. Helps me fatten up my faith. All of these different things. Romans 1:12, Ephesians 1:15, Colossians 1:4, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 8, all talk about the faith of other Christians and churches and how Paul was encouraged by that and how those churches encouraged others to be faithful. So the faithfulness of you and I can help others be faithful. And so that's how we share our faith in those two ways. Finally, and then we're done. We're gonna close quickly here. The seventh thing about faith for us as believers is we get to frolic in the fires of faith. I just like saying that. Frolic in the fires of faith. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll give you a couple of references. You can look them up if you want. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, talks about being tried in the fires so that our faith is purified. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, same idea. Difficulties, diverse temptations. When those things come, we become stronger as Christians. We frolic in the fires of faith. The last example is in Daniel chapter 3, who, as I referenced this morning, we see three men thrown into a furnace, three men that chose to put their faith in their God and not in their fear. And because of that, they literally got to frolic in the fires of that furnace. And the Lord was with them as they stood in those flames. Now, that wouldn't have been easy to be thrown into that furnace, right? I don't think they were laughing or giving each other thumbs up when they were being, this is going to be okay, you know. This is going to hurt. This isn't going to be nice. If God chooses to save us, wonderful. But if not, here we go. And God did choose to rescue them. Their faith was rewarded, as it were. And they get to frolic in the fires of faith. When it comes to our faith as believers, we often face difficulties that seem ominous, that are not nice, but we can trust the Lord to help us through those difficulties. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were not alone in the furnace, Christ was with them. Christ is with us, and we can trust him. Anyway, seven things about faith. I hope that was an encouragement to you. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we've talked about many things throughout this day in regards to our faith. Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow in our faith, to allow our faith to chase away the doubt and the fear. Lord, that we would allow you, Father, to have free reign in our lives so that our faith will grow. Lord, that our reactions, our responses, Lord, our emotions, our habits, our sins would yield to our faith instead of the other way around. We thank you that, Lord, we have our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, but it's not where it ends. There's so much more that we have access to. And so we pray that you would help us to live according to your word and to live by faith. We thank you for the day. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one and that we would leave here tonight, Father, with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.